tonight. Praise God. God is moving in such a mighty way. Amen. Praise God. And I'm so proud of our young people. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Brad said all those nice words, and Sister Michelle, and it is honestly my privilege to be able to come and minister in our children's ministry, to be a part of our ministry. Behind every good leader, there is a great team, amen? And our teachers are really the force behind our children's ministry, and I'm so thankful for each one of them, that the hours they put into to preparing their lessons and the time that they put in for all that. Thank you, teachers. Praise God. Praise God. And at this time, it is my great privilege, you may be seated, to welcome forth, born and forged from the George family tree. There was Roman George, but God said, I'm not done yet. So God wanted to add a little spice to the George family tree. And boy, did he. Amen. I had the honor and privilege, I told everyone this morning, of going out with our young people on Friday. And we handed out about 1,000 tracts in our neighborhoods. We went around to area neighborhoods and different apartment buildings, and one of the young people that was with us was Luther George. And Luther just made it so much fun handing out tracts, because we would walk up to people and he would either ask them randomly, which way to Starbucks? Just like, what? People are like, or he would go up and he would tell everyone how we were going to have him come up and minister today. And I'm just so thankful for that, because he has a servant's heart already. And he's so excited about sharing God's word. And that's something that you don't see in a lot of children these days. He also has the confidence and quite a bit of spice. Amen. So I'm excited to present to you today a minister of gospel, a minister of God's word, and some spice. Praise God. Come on up here, Luther, and share your burden.
First of all, my first question is everyone having a good day at the Kids Crusade? Okay. Now, second thing, I'm going to get two helpers up here. I want Kenley and Neil to come up. Okay, Kenley, Neil, come here. Okay, Neil is going to be our David. He will be our Goliath. Okay. Do you both know what happened in the whole thing? Okay. Goliath versus Daniel. You ready? Are you ready? Weighing at 25 pounds, Neil. Weighing at something pounds, Goliath. Okay, what do you want for your weapon?
A stone. A sword.
No, stone. Here you go. And here's your sword. Okay. You're gonna chuck your stone. Chuck it. Winner by KO, Neil! Take it up. Okay. You guys may stand up with me. Okay, this is my introduction. Have you ever had a problem that made you feel like you were a miserable, scrawny, weak, unable to achieve your goals, no good person? A problem so big that it feels like it mocks you every day of your life? It towers over you, casting a shower over every point of your life, Well, you are not alone, because there was a young man in the Bible who was also had a large shadow over his life, King David. Pastor Roy, I want to read you, I want, number 1 Samuel, 42-44.
He looked David over and saw that he was a little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. And he said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals."
Okay, that kind of sounds weird.
You asked for me to illustrate the reading, so I'm following orders, bro.
Goliath saw he was a young, not very ruggedly handsome, so Goliath tried to cast fear into David's heart. Do you know who else casts fear into young people's heart and more people? Yes, you are correct. Answer A. Good job. A plus. He will tell a young person that there is no reason to live or purpose to live for God. He will create so much doubt in your mind that you will forget how powerful God is and just how much God is working in your life every day. David had to constantly remind himself of this very fact. Brother Roy Grant, I want you to read 1 Samuel 17, verse 33-37.
Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried him off, a sheep from the flock, I went after it, and I struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When I turned on me, I seized it by its hair. I struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you."
Once David reminded of how great, mighty God was, and he went forward to face his problem head on, Goliath. Okay, Pastor Roy, I want you to read verse 45-51.
David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty and the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you unto my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give your carcass of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spirit that the Lord saves, but the battle is the Lord's, and he will give it, all of you, into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it, and he struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sunk deep into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran over and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the sheath after he killed him, and he cut off his head with the sword. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran.
And you can also see from the example from Kenley and David, yeah, you're David. And okay, Neil. Okay, Neil cut off the head of Kenley, the Goliath. And it also says that the stone went straight into Goliath's head, that it broke his forehead and went into his brain. The point of this story is that with a simple rock and the God working in David's life, he could conquer any animal or any person. The truth is, any young person with worship and prayer can conquer anything in their life or create fear. And I would like to thank you, Rick and Nicole, for letting me do this. I'd also like to thank Pastor Roy and Neil and Kenley and my dad for helping me with this.
Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Luther, for sharing God's word and the burden that he gave you. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I just want to make reference to that song. This means war. Hallelujah. Praise God. How many of you are sick and tired of some of the circumstances in your life? You're tired of the devil coming at you? Praise God. How about we kick back tonight? This means war. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you, God. We thank you, God, for your word here tonight, and we pray, God, that you would move forth. Lord God, let your seed go into every heart in this place, Lord God, that you would minister, and Lord God, let it be received, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. How many of you young people like to read books? Raise your hand. All right, we got a couple. How many of you don't like to read books? Raise your hand. All right, at least you're honest. Praise God. I remember when I was a kid, I used to love to read. I'd sit up with my mom. She would read with me, and we'd always take turns. You guys ever do that? Is that cool anymore? We would read stories like the Hardy Boys. You guys read the Hardy Boys? Ever heard of them? All right. We would read, like, Journey to the Center of the Earth. And then we'd read stories like Treasure Island. You guys heard Treasure Island? You like the pirates? You know what we like about the stories that we read is the adventure, the place that they take us, right? You can take and you can leave your life and you can go and plant yourself into the character. And for a brief moment, you can be that character. You can leave your situation and you can go there and you can just slip into that role. And you can be the pirate fighting, or the guy fighting the pirates, or the pirate fighting the guy, whatever. You can be the Dale Earnhardt driving NASCAR and listening to the thundering pipes of the 350 whatever big block, yep, Chevy engine. I knew he was going to get me there. Praise God. But you can take yourself out and put yourself into the situation, because there's always the adventure that you read about, and then there's always the what if, all right? The what if. And if you're like me, you're not born into money. Amen? Anyone feel my pain there? Praise God. And I thank God for that. That doesn't mean I don't have parents that didn't work hard. My parents worked very hard, and they worked to provide for me and my brothers. But you know what? We were poor. We didn't always have the best of everything. We couldn't have, the greatest games and things that other kids had. But, you know, so it got me thinking, like, I always looked at money. You know, when you get in school, they teach you how to count money. Grant's age and Thane's age are in second grade at Holy Cross, and right now I know they've been kind of going into math and teaching them about recognizing money, looking at pennies, dimes, nickels. And it's not long that you learn the value, okay? So there, I have a penny, and there's 100 pennies and a dollar. And you think, whoa, that's amazing, until you go to the store with a dollar and you try to spend it. It doesn't go very far, does it? So you really learn the value of money. And as you get older, you start to do maybe girls, you start to babysit, and you start to make more money, right? Or maybe the tooth fairy is really good to you. Or maybe you get Christmas and your grandparents slip you a really nice $20 bill and you're like, whoa, this is amazing, right? So you save up that money and you start to learn the value of money, because you go to spend it. You're thinking, okay, I got more money. I can buy whatever candy. Let's go for something serious now, right? So you're thinking, I'm going to go for the new Nintendo Switch game, Super Mario. And you go to Walmart and you realize, whoa, this thing's $60. And it took me a long time to get $40, right? So you really start to get the value system as you get older. And I remember one time when I was younger asking my dad, how much question, the how much. Dad, how much money would you be happy with making if you made that every year for the rest of your life, okay? And my dad told me, and this is going to date me kind of how old that I am, but my dad said, if I made $40,000 a year, we'd be set. We'd be doing really good. And I know $40,000, you know, some of you may say, oh, that's pretty good, or some of you go, yeah, whatever. But I'm just saying, to live really comfortably, we're not going to talk numbers in here, but $40,000 wouldn't go far in today's society. And then I always like to ask the what if question. What if you suddenly had $1 million, right? So all of a sudden, if I came up to you and I said, hey, Johnny, how are you? Good, good, all right. How are you? What if all of a sudden I handed you $1 million? That'd be pretty psyched. You'd be pretty psyched. How about you? Would you be psyched? $1 million? All right. Because that would buy a lot of video games, right? So then I would always ask people, how would you spend it? And I'd just sit back and listen. Because the amazing part is, it would really tell you a lot about people's priorities, right? $1 million. Oh, man, I'd go out and I'd go buy a new truck. Then I'd put a lift kit on it, put some Mickey Thompsons on it, some nice wheels, and come on. No? Or maybe you talk to somebody and you say, what would you do with $1 million, Brother Jansen? You know what I'd do? I'd take half of that money right away and I'd give it to some foreign missions people because I know they're really hurting, right? And I know that they can use that money to further God's kingdom. It's priorities like that where you can really gauge what people value. Amen? And tonight we're talking about treasure. We're talking about buried treasure or hidden treasure. Tonight my message is buried treasure. So once you learn about the value of money and then you learn about where people's priorities are in money, you really gauge what they value and where they put their treasure is. Now, sadly, the $1 million in today's economy doesn't go very far, does it? You really kind of got to up that number to, like, billions, right? You know, go down to Bill Gates' bank account and have him write out a one of those big checks. But I am going to move into our Bible story for the sake of time. We're talking about treasure, and I have a story about treasure. I have a story today about somebody who buried some treasure. So if I could, for a moment, before we get started, ask all of our adults in this place to pick a number between 1 and 10 in your mind. Raise your hand when you got it. All right. That's your age today. All right? So you get to be 8, 1, carefree, whatever it is. Just if you're 1, please don't mess on the pew. Okay? Because I got to clean it up. Just saying. That's your age today. So with that, I want you all to be on board with this because we're going to go on this journey together, okay? So again, I know I've talked about this before, but we have our Bible time machine, and I need you all to close your eyes, and we're going to enter into the Bible time machine. Are you guys in? Did you guys put your seatbelt on? All right, now you see that little control panel to the right with all the buttons? Don't touch those buttons. Go to the left side, and those are the buttons you want to touch, okay? So now we're going to enter in the numbers. Let's hear it. Okay. Now we're going to hit the go button. I saw that. Somebody went on the right side and pushed those buttons. You better knock that off right now. Okay, now push the go button. All right, and we're off. We're going back through time. Back, there's my house. There's Pastor Roy's camper. All right, we're keeping going back further. We're not going back in time. That's like across. All right, we're going back in time. There's Brother Lomax when he was preaching out in Chicago. All right, we're going to keep going. There's Moses. Whoa, we're really going back. Okay, we better slow down. Uh-oh, we missed it. We're going all the way back. We landed in Genesis. Genesis 1:1. What does the Bible say? In the beginning, God. Amen. I always like to start in the book of Genesis because it's a great place to start. Because if you're here tonight and you don't realize or recognize that in the beginning God, then you're getting his word all messed up right from the beginning, all right? So we just need to clarify that. God created the world, okay? God created everything that we know to exist. God created a perfect world with a man named Adam. And Adam wasn't good enough, so he had to make someone to keep Adam in line. So he made Adam and Eve. She wasn't evil, but she was his woman. And as Bishop always says, Adam looked at Eve and said, "Whoa, man." Thank you, Bishop. Adam looked at Eve and he said, "Whoa, man." He's like, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." Adam and Eve had one job, right? They just had to tend to the garden and not eat of the tree of what? Good and evil. You know what they did? They got tempted. You know why? Because there is a devil in this world. And you may say to yourself, where did he come from? Well, the devil came. He was a fallen angel. He was an angel that got booted out of heaven. Why? Because he tried to take over. He was trying to say, "Oh, look at me," instead of "look at God." And if you have that kind of attitude, your priorities are wrong, okay? So the devil, he's got a bad attitude about the whole deal. And he wants to go and take the one thing that God treasures most. And what would that be? His creation. His man creation. God loves you. All right? If you're here today and you're hurting in heart, you feel like you're so far from God that you can't turn back or he doesn't want you, you're wrong. Because he made you. You may be doing some things that are causing like a wall or a barrier to be there between God and you. But God loves you. Maybe you continually are doing this thing. That's called an addiction, something in your life that you've found that you're just going back to. The Bible refers to that as a dog returning to the vomit. You ever see that? That's just weird. I never understood that mentality until I grew up. And sometimes I catch myself doing that same thing. You go back to that thing and you're like, "Oh, this is, why did I do that, Lord? I'm so sorry," or whatever. But you know what? We treasure certain things of the world, and we're getting our priorities wrong. But you are still God's treasure. God made Adam, God made Eve, and he made you. Amen? Yes, he used your mother and father in the process, but he made you, young people. And he made you special. And he made you with a purpose. Now you say to yourself, why do we have all the bad things in the world? You know why? Because of sin. Because we don't make the right choices. And it's a consequence that we have to pay when we do stupid stuff. Right? If you don't get up and go to work every day, what happens? You're going to get fired. Right? It's a consequence. You just can't expect that paycheck's just going to keep coming in. So when sin entered into the world, God had to remove man from the garden. Because God has some places that he's reserved and he's made special. And he says, you can't be in here and I don't want sin in here, okay? So God took man and he put him out into the world. Now we're going to fast forward all the way to Egypt, okay? Did you do it yet? Okay. So Egypt is a type of sin, right? Egypt, we look at Egypt as the mighty Pharaoh. It was a great civilization full of rulers and wealth, right? When we look at history, Egypt was a very productive civilization. But the Bible looks at Egypt as a type and shadow of sin. Amen? And then when we look at types and shadows of sin, we look at Egypt as being our old lifestyle, right? But we're God's people. We're called to be separate and apart from the world. Amen? So God's people found themselves in Egypt. They were living in Egypt. And God wanted to deliver them from Egypt. So who did he set up to deliver them? No, you got to say it deeper than that. Moses. So God brought old Moses out. Moses was a great man, right? Moses was an amazing man. See, the people were on their way to the promised land. Amen? We're on our way to the promised land. And there was a great leader that took the people towards the promised land, right? But then God said, okay, here's the line, Moses, you did a great job, but I want to set someone else up. So I'm going to bring forth a Joshua, all right? Now we're on our way to the promised land, amen? Now Joshua, we all know the story about the Battle of Jericho. If you don't know it, it's a great story. The Joshua and the Israelites had overtaken the Battle of Jericho. Jericho. Jericho was the promised land where God said, this is your land. These guys are squatters. They're on your land. Go out there and boot them out. I'll go with you. I'll lead you. You got this. So Joshua's like, sweet. So God said, if you do exactly what I say, and he gave him specific instructions, I will help you overcome Jericho. So Joshua and the people, the Israelites, did exactly that. God said one thing. Do not take of the accursed thing. Now this is important to remember because the accursed things that men valued were cursed by God. And this was a treasure to some people. But God said, I don't want any of that stuff in my people. I don't want them to look at that stuff. I don't want them to have it. You know what? Some of it we're going to keep in the temple area or whatever. But so there was a man named Achan. And it was an appropriate name because he had no idea how much he'd be aching when he messed with the stuff that was forsaken. You like that? By God, amen? So Achan was walking around. They were overcoming, and Achan saw some treasure, and he said, just like some of us have done, if I do this, nobody will know. If you're not hearing me, please listen carefully. If I do this, or if I watch this, or if I drink this, nobody will know. You didn't always take your first drink when mom and dad were around, did you? Maybe some of you did, but I don't know. But I didn't. You didn't do the sinful things when mom and dad were around. You snuck them, right? You went into somewheres where nobody was looking. Maybe you had a couple buddies with you and you guys did something. But sometimes those things that you keep doing can start to suck you in, right? And that's called an addiction, and you get sucked down, and next thing you know, you're in bondage. Anytime we enter into sin, sin is in our life, we're in bondage. The Bible says that we're born in sin and shaping in iniquity. Amen? We need a Savior. Praise God. That's why we go to church. That's why you're here today, because you need a Savior. Don't you think for one second, just because some of these pretty people look the part, that they don't need the Savior too, because every day we got to get up and go back to the King and say, God, forgive me for my sins. God, take away these desires. Lord, you know the thing that I've been struggling with. God, please help me. Amen. These are real things that the enemy has tried to put in our lives to tear us down. Praise God. I don't know how much time I have, but Achan had taken the Achan-taken treasure, and he hid it. That's what we do when we try to do things. We try to sneak it, right? Try to get away with it. Achan thought nobody saw that. He took it, and he buried it in his tent. But you know what happened? The children of Israel went up against another enemy later. And Joshua said, you know what, work before, we'll work again. So I know what we're going to do, guys. He had faith. He's getting some confidence, right? He's starting to strut a little more. Yeah, we got this. And they go into battle, and they get their butts whipped, right? Please excuse my language. But it was like going up against Chris Jansen at his dojo. They underestimated him, and they got whipped. Chris Jansen does Brazilian jiu-jitsu. He may not look dangerous, but don't mess with him. Love Brother Jansen. He's a great man. Praise God. They got their butts whipped. And Joshua, who's the leader, you know, one thing I find that's weird and it's funny, when things are going good, everybody loves the leader. Amen. But when things go bad, look at David, look at Moses. All the people murmur and they threaten to stone the leader. Amen. The leader didn't do it. He's just following God's word. He's just trying to lead you to New Jerusalem. But you know what? We got to support our leaders. Amen. We got to get behind the man of God in our lives. We need to learn to trust the man that God has put over us and the direction that he's leading us in. Amen. So the leader goes before God, and he breaks out into this great lament. And he says, God, what did we do? I don't understand what we did. And I think it's really cool, this next part, because the Bible doesn't say Achan sinned, because there's unity amongst the people, all right? So if you get this with me, when one of us sins, it can affect the whole tribe, amen? Some of you are wondering why your families are not succeeding and you're over there trying to sneak some sin in your house, okay? Okay? God's not messing around. You want the blessings of God in your home and in your life. You need to boot that stuff out of there. You wonder why your kids are acting up. Maybe it's something that you've invited there in your time, all right? So Joshua, he's sitting there lamenting, and he's saying, God, what did we do? And you know what God did? He said, get up, you sniveling Joshua. He said, listen, Israel has sinned, okay? The people sinned. I just want to go back to one more thing. There's power in unity. Our pastor's been preaching about unity, and I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful that we're part of not just Calvary Gospel Church, but we're part of the church. Amen? Because last time I checked, we are called the bride. Not the brides, but the bride. Amen? And we're all going to go to heaven together, and we're going to stand before God, and he's either going to give us the green light or the not so good light, okay? And we want the green light. That's just a cheat question there. So, God loves unity. You know, I'm so thankful that our pastor, I just want to say this real quick, and not only our pastor, but brother, my brother from another mother, Brother Lomax. We go out, me and Brother Lomax go out, you know, he tells people we're brothers, and they look at us, and I said, yeah, he's before and I'm after. You figure that out. Just kidding. We got Brother Jansen here. We got all these great ministers in our district who are networking and getting together. And they're not worried about my little congregation. They're not worried about my church. But you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to build the God's kingdom into something that's beautiful and glorious. And they're trying to prepare it for God's coming. Amen. Praise God. So God tells Joshua to divide up the tribes, and then he says, divide the families, and then he says, okay, I'm going to point out which family. If our musicians could come at this time. And Joshua goes forth, and he divides the tribes, and God says, okay, this tribe. And then he divides the families. And God says, this family. And then it comes down to Achan. Here's a man who's standing there, and he's guilty. right? He's standing there, and he's got he's 100% guilty. He's got the evidence hiding in his tent. God wants separation. He loves you, but he does not want you messing around with this stuff, okay? So if you could stand with me right now, I wonder if there's somebody in here tonight who's been carrying some stuff that they shouldn't. I don't care who it is, young or old. Maybe young people, you're carrying around some stuff. Maybe some of you are like me when I was a kid. Please don't look down on me, but I used to steal stuff. I'd go to stores and I'd steal candy, and I thought I was real slick because I'd get away with it. Or maybe if you're older, you're dealing with some more heavy things, okay? But we all carry these things as we get older. We all pick up things. But you know what? The beautiful part of Jesus is that he still loves you, and there's still time. You can go before the Lord. Now, the Bible says that Achan and his entire family, all of his possessions, his animals and everything, they stoned him. They burned him. Because God doesn't want sin in his kingdom. The Bible says that God has went and he's prepared a place for you and for me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Amen. I go to prepare a place for you. If it was not so, I wouldn't say it. He's got something special for you. But all you have to do is just create a clean vessel. And you know what? You got nothing to lose, because the moment you do, he starts walking with you in life. He starts walking with you in life. It's so beautiful. He starts walking with you in life. Praise God. My mother-in-law, Sister Linda Brown, baptized her sister from California last week. Praise God. I don't know if Cora's listening on this message, but if she is, praise God, I really hope you're getting established and that you're letting God work and minister through you. But you know, the beautiful part is when she got baptized, she was set free. She came to the altar. She was set free. She laid it down right here. She laid it down. And God let her have that freedom, the liberty. And he gave her something even better, his own spirit. He filled her with his spirit. And that's something that nobody can ever take away from you. Praise God. God will move into your life and he'll lead you and guide you and direct you. The Bible says, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Amen. Praise God. That power is for you, to help you, to guide you. When you're going through life and you're getting with your buddies and they're saying, "Hey, man, let's go have some fun." And the Holy Ghost can just say, "Hope, hope, hope. Time out." He'll give you a check in your spirit. And he'll help you. He'll walk with you. The Bible says that he's our comforter and he's our shepherd. He'll guide you. Praise God. So I wonder if we could have our young people, if you want to come on up close, if we could have our altar workers come up and pray with our young people. And I don't know if we have any older young people here tonight, because I gave you let you choose your number. After you clean up your mess, you can come on up here, pick up your toys. You guys can come up here, and God wants to give you something. He's got something special for you. But all you have to do is come up here with an open heart and say, "God, I'm tired of carrying this stuff. It's got me nowheres but in trouble. I'm tired of getting pulled over. I'm tired of getting messed around with. I'm tired of being broke. I'm tired of just having the same old junk happening all the time in my life. God, I need you." And you just come up and you lay that down before the Lord and you say, "God, here it is. I want you to have this. Please. Take it." And you think, "Oh, what's he want with my junk?" You know what? He loves you. I'm a parent, and I get that mentality. Because my kids, yes, they do stupid stuff, but I always love them. Amen. Praise God. Come up here right now. There's opportunity right now. You can come up here and cast your cares upon the Lord, for He cares for you. Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Jesus is called.